Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are going to be talking money once again, and today's topic is going to be kind of a lead-in to what I call the top 10 mistakes that I see when it comes to retirement planning mistakes. And most of these mistakes I see are very preventable. But unfortunately, those mistakes cost people between $50,000 and $500,000 over their lifetime, and that's not good. And so today we're going to do that. I'm going to start with some basics, though. You know, when I meet with people, and that's what our company does, we our financial advisor. That's what we do. We help people. We give money advice. And just like anything else, you go to experts if you want to learn how to be an expert at something. And we tend to believe we're pretty much experts when it comes to the money side. And so the first thing that I like to do is always get people educated. And, you know, education is the first step. That's why I do the radio. I have people ask me all the time. I said, you know, how does the radio work out for you? I said, well, it's a way I get to talk to my clients and get to put it out and keep them educated. And then that way, when things go bad in the markets or whatever it may be, they're prepared, they understand and stuff like that. And so I want to encourage you, if you're listening today, go to my podcast. You can go to roymatlockjr.com. Go get educated, because education will make you money and lack of education will cost you money. And so today I'm going to start with some basics of how money works and how investments work. We're going to get into about eight different things where you can put your money toward retirement. But to start with, let's talk about a concept called professional money management and how becoming an owner and not a loaner is the key element to starting understanding how money works. And so to begin with, when we earn some money, the first step we want to do is pay ourselves first. And how do you pay yourself first? That's when you automatically deduct money out of your checking account or automatically contribute to your retirement plan through your work, whatever it may be. And so pay yourself first is we're going to invest the profit of our efforts back into something so one day we can have some security. And what is that security? That is, you know, the length of time. Your security is in direct proportion to the length of time that you cannot work and continue to eat and survive and live. And so if you have a year set aside, you've got 1 year of security. And if you got unlimited years of security, meaning you're financially independent, your money will never run out. That's the goal. And so we start with that by taking our profit from our work. If we're not making a profit, we need to cut our expenses and raise our income and create a gap. And so now we're making a profit, whether you have a job or a business, whatever it may be, we want to have a profit. So if you have credit card debt at the end of the year, well, you know what? Then you probably didn't have a profit if you have car payments, all those kind of things. So anyway, so we do that. We get that under control. And then from there, we go in and we start understanding the basics of how money works, professional money management. So I was taught this early on, become an owner, not a loaner. And so you think about, we go to the bank, we start with the banks. And so the banks have a purpose. You know, they're there for short-term liquid money. They're not there for long-term money. Yet I see people have long-term money sitting there at the bank. And the way the bank makes money is they borrow the money from you. You walk in, you get to open a savings account. They borrow that money from you. And they borrow that money from you at a low rate, then they loan it back out at a higher rate. So, for instance, if they borrow it at 2% on a savings account and loan it at 13% on a car, 21% on a credit card, whatever it may be, they make a spread. And that spread is what they get. So if they have a credit card at 21% and you're getting 2, they made 19, which would you rather be, the bank, or would you rather be the loan money to the bank? I would rather own the bank, right? I would much be, I'd like to get the spread. You know, I've always noticed how banks, their buildings get bigger. I mean, if they want to change, you know, like a new location, they just tear the old one down. I mean, they make money. And so just buy the bank. And you should just buy the bank, just own the bank. And so, well, how do I do that? Well, I own stock. All right, so if I own stock in the bank, I do that. I have people, they tell me all the time they're going to Vegas and they're only going to lose this much money. And I'm like, I like that system. You know, you're only going to lose $1,000. And so I would rather be the casino than the gambler. If, I mean, who the heck, you know, makes a decision on the front end, I'm only going to lose this much money. Well, that's what people do. I've heard it many, many times. I'm going to Vegas. Yeah, but I'm only going to bet $500. I'm only going to lose, you know, $1,000 or something like that. So would you rather be the gambler or the casino? I would rather be the casino. I'd rather just buy the casino. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, in stock, you know, in share in it, a share in the casino. And so what that allows me to do is to put myself in a position of ownership. But I don't know which ones to purchase. What bank would I buy? Okay, what casino? I don't know that. We go to professional money managers. A professional money manager called a mutual fund or a managed account. That's where people who are experts in researching companies, they go in and they pick the best banks and they pick the best casinos. I was at a fund group one time and they said, you know, this guy was a pharmaceutical analyst and his background, he was a medical doctor to begin with, and he got his business degree, and all he did was study pharmaceutical stocks. And they said, well, what do you do? He said, well, we go meet with all the companies, the C-levels, and meet with the CEO, and then we go talk to their employees, and then we go to research and development, find out what they got cooking. And then what they end up doing is ranking these stocks, you know, based on what they're selling for versus what they think they're worth. And then they go to the doctor's conventions and they talk to the doctors to see what they're prescribing. And then from there, they send it up to DC. They go talk to the patients, see how they're coming out. And then they put a little bit of money in there. And over a long period of time, they do well. And so that's the way you start. You understand the basics of professional money management. And once you understand the basics of professional money management, you will stop leaving your money sitting in accounts where you're a loaner. What you're going to do is you're going to become an owner. All right, we're going to get our money working for us. And so this is the basics. Then from there, we go to what we call diversification. We're going to have some short-term money. We're going to have some long-term money. We're going to have some that's in the middle. All right. And that is allowing us to never sell at a discount. And so when I go in and I meet with people, the first thing I do is I look at it, I say, well, let's look at your buckets. Where's your buckets of money at? And so if you're listening right now, the first thing you should do is get a review done. We do those kind of things. Find out where your money's going. Is your money being loaned out or are you owning? That's what we do. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. And, we have three more segments. We're going to be talking about how to move forward and make the right decisions in retirement. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr., and we are talking money today, and today shows the 10 mistakes that I see when it comes to retirement planning. But initially, we're talking about some of the basics. If you're just tuning in, we talked about what is a professional money manager, and what that is a managed account is an investment account that is mutually funded by many people and that is owned by an investor but managed by someone else. And so what happens is when you put your money into one of these funds, they go across, you choose the allocation based on the type of risk and time horizon that you have. We diversify it across different types of, you know, small, medium, large cap. We could do bonds. We could do a portion of it in cash, things like that. And then we even look at insurance products to have some security insurance. What is, you know, insurance? FDIC is insurance. All right. We have a portion of our money maybe in the bank, or we have a portion of our money with annuities and things like that. But the bottom line is we diversify. The whole idea behind diversification is to have something that will make you happy all the time. And if your best diversification story I know how to explain is you, if you're in business and you own a little store on the beach, you would sell sunglasses and umbrellas. That way, if it's raining, you got something that's good. And if it's sunny, you got something that people are interested in too. And so we go in and do those things when it comes to your money. So we're going to get you diversified across things, get you with professional money managers. And this is all so important because when it comes to your retirement plans, a lot of it you're having to pick on your own and do your own thing. And or if you get with someone, you need to have someone help you. And right now, more than ever before, you know, the markets are booming and a lot of people are not allocated correctly. And so what I do then is I kind of work through six components. Number one is education and advice. Learn. If you understand, you're going to do much better. Then I meet with people and I do things like, and we find out where you're at in life. You're 45 years old and you've been out there in the money game the whole time. Let's take a look at where you're at. Assets, liabilities, net worth, what your income is, all that kind of stuff. We build a defense. The defense is to protect against, disasters. It would be to protect your income and assets, emergency funds, staying out of debt. You get an offense. We're going to mostly talk about offense today, and that's growing your money, making good decisions there. We then go from there to the product selection. I am a fiduciary. My team is a fiduciary, so we have access to everything. And then we do reviews and updates. And so what you do is if you take your money serious, I have yet to see anyone that has stuck around with me that hasn't done well. And the reason they've done well is because we pay attention to it. Anything you manage and pay attention to always improves. And so then on the offense side, we got a few things. Number one, we pay ourselves first. One of the most important things that biggest mistakes I see is that people just don't ever get started. Then from there, we want to understand how compound interest works and why it's important to get a better return on your money. The difference in 4% is not double in 8%. So what we want to do is we want to understand compounding periods. Rule of 72 says, if you take any interest rate divided into 72, it tells you how long it takes your money to double. So if you're getting 12%, it doubles in 6 years. If you're getting 6%, it doubles in 12 years. It's real simple. Would you rather have your money double in 6 years or 12 years? I mean, I'd like it double as often as possible. Then we get on a consistent plan, time, which allows us to put time on your side. By starting early, that gives the back end compounding the ability to, the last doubling period that someone else that waited didn't get, you get. And the last doubling period is your biggest doubling period. So we do that. We diversify. I mentioned that. We put into managed accounts and funds. So we have professionals managing it. We're not buying individual stocks that we don't know anything about. Very few people I've ever met outperform the professionals over a long period of time. So, if you want to throw something in, 10%, something like that of your portfolio, because you think you can beat them, just test it and see if you can. Maybe you're one of the few that can do it. I don't see it. Then we try to defer things or avoid paying taxes. That's a tax plan. Do we tax defer it, tax free, tax deductible, whatever it may be. So we're walking through this. That's our retirement plan model. We look, if we have children who want to send to college, one day we might look at 529 plans or even UTMAs and UGMAs. Those are plans that have favorable tax treatment, but they can be invested in other things other than college or an educational savings plan. All these things are part of the plan. We have annuities for lifetime income, tax deferral. When we retire, we look at, all of our income sources and things like that, and we look at tax planning as it relates to charitable giving, as it relates to, taking and making sure you have an estate plan that goes to the next generation. And so that's advice and education. And so from there, we're going to get into all these different accounts, and then I'm going to get into the mistakes I see. So let's start with, the different accounts you could put your money. You have an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months of liquid cash. Why do we have an emergency fund? To avoid emergencies, to keep us from paying penalties, like on having to reach into our retirement funds and pay penalties. It allows us to raise our deductibles so we become more self-insured. And what does that mean? That means we no longer have a $500 deductible on our car and our home. We have a $1,500 or $2,500 deductible, or maybe we drop the collision, whatever it may be. But the idea is that it keeps us from borrowing money on credit cards, that we don't have money set aside when an emergency hits. So everything about your emergency fund should be getting a really good rate of return on your emergency fund by taking and doing the other things that allow the emergency fund to move, okay? Then we're going to get started with retirement funds. I recommend a Roth IRA if you're eligible. If not, we can do what's called a backdoor Roth. That's where you earn too much money. We can do a Roth. We have retirement plans through work, 401ks, that you might have a 403B, whatever it may be, a 457, all these different retirement plans. But the whole idea behind those retirement plans, there's some type of tax benefit, either tax-free growth or tax deductions on the front end, whatever it may be. You might buy life insurance. That it gives you another source that you can get tax-free income that you can pull from. You've got college plans, as we mentioned. We have opportunity funds. What is an opportunity fund? I learned it in early on. It's something called opportunity cost. What is opportunity cost? Opportunity cost is I don't have the money, so therefore I can't take advantage of the opportunity. I always want to have the ability to have some liquidity, but at the same time, I want to have that money growing. A lot of times I have people in balance funds. Maybe they get to a point where they got a stock and bond fund. They got 100 grand. They have to pay taxes on it, but it's fully liquid. And then something comes along and they end up having an opportunity to maybe buy a partner out of their business. I had one of my clients that did that, and it was a great opportunity for them to be able to really improve their position. They had the cash to do it. Or maybe there's a property that you need to that you have a chance to buy that you think is very valuable to you. Whatever it may be, you got the cash. We also have what we call non-retirement tax deferred funds. That would be mostly annuities. That's where you can put money in, let it grow, tax deferred forever until you pull it out. And then we have things for income like long-term care products. We have all these different things that allow us to diversify our investments. And so what I'm going to do after this is we're going into our two last segments. Now that you know all of the choices, you've got all kinds of choices. And if you want to know more about this stuff, I don't know the number now. It's upwards of 200 podcasts that are sitting at the Roy Matlock Jr. Money Business Hour. You can find it on any of your Apple and Spotify and all that, or you can go to roymatlockjr.com. And what you can do then is search keywords on our website. You want to know about a budget, do it. Whatever it may be, you can search it out. But what I would encourage you to do, if you need help, reach out to us. My advisors are very trained, and we will help you get on a plan. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Visit roymatlockjr.com. We will be right back with segment three.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back, and let's get into some of the mistakes I see that cost you big when it comes to retirement planning. First off, let's look at the the basic plans that you can get into. 401k, 403b is the biggest retirement account opportunity that you can put money into. You can put up to $23,000 a year in a 401k, 403b. If you're under age 50, you can do a catch-up contribution of up to $30,500 total if you're 50 and older with your catch-up. The key to this is that most 401ks give you matching funds. So what is one of the biggest mistakes I see starting out? People are not contributing to a fund that you can put in 3%, maybe get matched 3%, so you make 100% on your money, or maybe you put in 6% and they match 3%, you're getting 50% on your money. You can get a tax deduction on the 6% that you put in. So it doesn't cost you 6. It really only costs you 5. So you put in 6, you get a deduction, cost you 5 maybe, and you get 9 I like deals where I put in $5 and instantly get $9. I mean, that's just, and I see people not doing it. The other thing I see is that you have the ability to put in $23,000 if you have the income and ability to do that. You can buy one and get one free. You can put $23,000 in and then get a deduction. Take that deduction, stick it over into a Roth IRA. The deduction will almost fund the Roth IRA. So you can do something deductible or non-deductible. You can do your Roth. You can add to it. But you're eligible to do not only a 401k, but you're also eligible to do an IRA on top of that. So if you're out there working right now and you've built your income up, number one key to getting ahead is growing your income, growing your value proposition. I had a meeting yesterday with a guy that had just sold a business, and he was talking about, you know, maybe getting involved in financial. And he says, what's the value that I need to know everything? I need to know what value I can bring to it. And that is the first idea that you need to be thinking about when it comes to your income. What's my value proposition? What can I bring to the table? Who can I help? What is the problem I can solve for either if you're working for a company or if you're a independent contractor or own a business? It's always about what's the problem. How big is the problem? What am I going to do to be able to solve it? And if I can do that in mass, I make a lot of money. That's the way it is. And it's that way if you work for someone, hey, if you can create something that's value proposition to your business, they're going to pay you a lot of money because they're making money on it. So we want to make sure and do that. So now you've built your income up. You have a goal of 25% into long-term savings. If you can get to that point, and the way you do that is what if you knew that every year your income was going to grow, and then all you're going to do is raise your lifestyle proportionally based on the fact I'm going to take 25% and invest it, how quickly you're going to get ahead. So I always say step number one is have an income plan to grow your income, save 25% of your money. All right, so we do that. If you now let's talk about IRAs. So IRAs, you can put up to $7,000 if you're under 50, $8,000, which is a catch-up contribution if you are over 50. If you're an independent contractor, I'm not going to get into all that today, but you can do a SEP or a solo 401k where you can put a lot of money into that, even more than you can if you're working for a company or an IRA. But the long and short of it is you can do that. If you earn too much money, I'll talk about a backdoor Roth. And basically what it is, it's a non-deductible IRA that we can convert immediately to a Roth, and now you can get that. So let's take a look. Let's say you've got a company 401k, and you throw your 30 grand in, your 50, 30,500, and you're in the 25% tax bracket. That saves you about $7,500, which about funds your IRA. How about that? So we got a free IRA out of it. And we can take that. If you earn too much, we can put it in the form of a backdoor where we convert it each year, actually at right after we put it in. And so we do that. So those are your contribution limits. This will give you an idea. So our mindset should be let's get contributing. Most important thing is getting started. The most costly thing you can do is procrastinate. Procrastination costs you money. Did a show just recently called This Is For All of You That Are Procrastinators, that you haven't done things yet. You have great intentions and poor follow through. You haven't done it. Procrastination costs you money. So we want to get going. We want to get to paying ourselves first. We want to have from now on until the end of time, until we retire and we don't have any income coming in from our earnings. In other words, we're going to investments. We are going to have somebody automatically, a company, a individual account every single month from now on, something's coming out of our accounts and being put into an investment account for our benefit. We are going to automatically pay ourselves first. If you hear me right now, you want to get ahead, you got to pay yourself first. You cannot let a day go by. You cannot let that happen. The most important thing you can do is get started. So then we do that. Now that we're started, we got our money moving forward. You know, I remember the day I was so excited. I got my securities license, and it was 1985. And I was like, man, I'm getting me a fund. I put $50 a month in. That was my first draft into an investment account. $100 went into a money market account through the mutual fund itself. I was putting $150 a month away, and I was excited every time I saw this. I'd get the statements. Back then, you couldn't log in. You would either have to look online and see how many shares you had, or every quarter you would get those statements in the mail. And I'd look at it, and I'm like, okay, we're moving forward. This is good. I like this. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to make sure to do that. Now, once we've got that in our mind, we're not giving away free money by not contributing. You know, we're not going to procrastinate. What I see, what are some of the things I see that are mistakes? Number one, people are too aggressive. You're too aggressive when you're older. If you're at or near retirement and the amount of money in your 401k or your IRAs right now that's already sitting there is the most important thing that's going to happen to you when it comes to retirement. We need to back it off a little bit. I mean, we don't need to have a 2006 market high that we're down on our big lump sum. That's the most important thing we've got until 2012 again. We don't need that to repeat itself. I see other people that are too conservative. I had a lady come in one day, and she had left her 401k, 403b actually, at a college and university, left it for 20 years, had it in a stable value account. That account cost her $200,000 because it was too conservative. So what we want to do, we want to diversify across stocks, bonds, and even some cash buckets when it comes to our retirement plan. Depending on your time horizon, that is the difference in what we're doing. I like to have older people that have a decent amount of money that it's going to mean that they're moving forward. I say older, I'll be 65, so I guess I'm going to consider myself older. But if you're all, 55 and up and you're nearing retirement, or when you think you're going to start pulling money, we want to look at the amount of money that you've got already and maybe back it off a little bit. If you're still contributing, which you should be, if you're still working, then you might be more aggressive in that. And so we take a look at, hey, why don't we be happy if the market goes down because we had some money that was conservative and we didn't get hurt real bad, and at the same time we're buying in on the down. So if you would like a risk review and to find out where you really are, you can reach out to us. One of our advisors will be happy to meet with you and do a review and give you an idea of what we think. I see this right now, man. I mean, it's scary to me. 65-year-olds today are more 65-year-olds or people are turning 65 today than ever before. And I see a lot of them investing like they're in their 30s right now. Give us a call. You can do that, a phone call to start at roymatlockjr.com. I will be right back with the final segment on the
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, final segment, and today's show is the top 10 mistakes that I see. We've kind of led up to it as it comes to retirement planning, and so... All right, so what we're going to do is run through the 10, all right, with the number one being getting started, procrastination, all right? So we're going to stop procrastinating, and we're going to start doing things. Now, what do you do if you're in a situation where you messed up? You got some debt, you got some things like that, you know? We still start saving. All right. But the difference is we may start saving in something that's liquid to help us get out of debt. But the bottom line is that a habit has to be formed. So it might be that we start with a small amount of money going toward a retirement. But at the same time, we got money going toward a money market to pay debt down to free us up. But we got to get started. All right. The next step. All right. So that's our baseline, is you got to get started. Procrastination costs you money. Number one, not contributing enough. just taking the match. I see it all the time. I see people, they say, well, I'm putting in 6%. I'm like, okay, well, you're making enough money to put in $20,000 or $30,000. 6% is your match. So what we want to do is we want to take advantage of putting our money into things. So what I tell people is, if you can hit your match to begin with, then we open a side Roth potentially and draft it. Now we've done that. Then you continue to contribute additional amounts of money with the goal of being able to max out your retirement plan through your employer if you have one, and max out your retirement plan. That would be about $27,000 a year, or $38,000 a year if you have a retirement plan through work. So if you're under 50, it's about $27,000 and $38,000 if you're over there. If not, you're going to be for sure doing your IRAs and doing things like that. So you don't want to just take the match. You want to be contributing more. The second mistake I see, investing too conservatively or too aggressive. All right. And so sitting money in cash or stable funds, understand stable funds are not designed, okay, for growth. They call them stable because, you know, everybody that, you know, they see it, they're like, okay, well, I don't want to lose my money. I don't want to. Well, that's not the way you make your money. The way you make your money is this. You make your money by understanding risk, and you make your money by understanding that we're buying every month. We're doing what's called dollar cost averaging. And so when the market's up, we're buying less shares of expensive shares. And when the market goes down, we're buying more shares at lower price. So the whole idea is buy low, sell high. Well, this, in this case, dollar cost averaging is the key to it. So now what happens when we do these kind of things, we can expect historically that three steps up, one step back in the stock market. If you're investing in the market, three steps up, one step back. Everybody wants the market to go up. But if you're older, you do want it to go up. But if you're younger, you actually make your money when it's going down. So what we do when we talk to people, if someone's young, then we're hoping the market's going to decline so we can buy at a discount. If someone's older, we want to make sure that when it declines, we're not going to get the full decline. So that's where we go in and we diversify in bonds and annuities and things like that, with the idea that we never have to sell anything at a discount. So if you have other accounts, then you can pull from them when you're retiring and not worry about the market going down. And long term, you'll do fine. The idea is you never invest too conservatively, and you never invest too aggressively. What we do is we diversify. One of the other big mistakes is if you have 401ks that you left behind at a previous employer, there is literally trillion. Nearly $1 trillion sitting in 401ks from previous jobs, to such a degree that you can't even find them. Because what do you do when the company you work for that had your 401k goes under? Who are you going to call? You never should leave a retirement account at your previous employer. You always should roll it over. Now, you can roll it to an IRA. And when you roll it to an IRA, that allows you to have unlimited choices. I don't usually recommend, very seldom have I ever recommended rolling it to your existing new plan. And the reason is that you'll be limited in those choices. But that would be better than leaving it at the previous employer, because there's so many, you don't have access to it, all right, the way you need to. So I see old 401ks being left behind. I have people call me and they have no idea. I want you to think about this. You're working hard every day. You get up, you fight traffic, do whatever you got to do, and to get to work, you make your money, and now you put your money aside, and you got no idea. You have no idea what it's worth. You have no idea what it's being invested in. All right. You can't do proper asset allocation because it's all scattered. You don't really know. And I see this stuff all the time. I still meet with people and I see it all the time. I mean, it's like bringing It's not unusual for me to consolidate three or four different accounts where people have done things. And so by not consolidating, it's harder to manage your diversification. You don't have the ability. In other words, if you want to make one move, you have to move it over here, go to one account, here to another account, here to another account, and try to figure out how to make it, you know, asset allocation correctly. And so consolidating your accounts, leaving 401ks behind, big mistakes, ignoring fees. I see funds that have, you know, from small 401ks where the fees are very high. All right. You know, one of the things that I like to do is get with all the funds I recommend have low fees, lower than average fees. You don't want to get low fees without returns, but any reduced fee that an underlying fund can do, well, that's going to be good for you. And so next mistake, failing to rebalance. All right, what is a rebalance? I have funds that I've been involved in, like annuities, variable annuities. I own variable annuities. And the reason I do that is that on money I don't need, I put it into accounts that are tax deferred, and I can do automatic rebalancing to where every quarter it automatically rebalances. What that means is you never get too heavy in any one fund. I'll give you a little example. Had one of my advisors today was talking to me, and he was talking about one of the clients that had ended up, they had accumulated some money, and they had it in Amazon stock, and they had it, it was like a stock purchase type thing. And we looked, and I said, okay, what has Amazon done? He said, well, man, Amazon's great. Amazon stock, I mean, you know, what has it done in the last, you know, year? Here's an example. The 52-week high is 242. The 52-week low is 161. So think about that. That's the kind of volatility that goes into accounts. And if you don't reallocate, if you get too heavy in different accounts, you don't even know it. It automatically happened. You didn't know it was going to go up like that or go down like that. And so reallocation allows you to say, I'm going to have a 70-30 international plan. And so at the end of the year, we meet, we reevaluate, we rebalance, and we do that. So that's an example of diversification. Missing catch-up contributions after 50. You turn 50, you can add more money, 1,000 extra a year if you're an IRA, 7,000 extra if you're doing a retirement plan. I see people taking early withdrawals. I have customers that have called me, and I said, look, don't touch your retirement plans. I would be more inclined for you to do equity line of credit to pay off debt than to pull from your retirement plans because you're paying taxes and you lose all the gains and things like that. So we want to make sure that we have an emergency fund. We don't do that. The last thing that I see is why do it by yourself? All right. When you do it by yourself, you're betting on a side gig of study to do something that is going to affect you your entire life based on your decisions. And so I try to always hook up with people that know more about me. I know a lot about tax. I know a lot about estate planning, but when it gets right down to it, I refer that out. All right. And I give good advice. I can tell you how to do things, but you know, there's people that know more about that than I do because that's their area of expertise. And so what we want to do is want to take and look at that. So now how do we know if we're able to retire? The first thing is we say, what's our income needs and what can we get guaranteed? We add up our must-haves. We get a good budget. We look at our guaranteed streams to determine between Social Security, pensions, annuities, things like that. If there's a gap, your savings and investment have to go in there and do that. So we ask that. So rule number one is income needs versus guaranteed income. What do we have? Number two, we look at our savings test. If you want to look at being really bulletproof, 20 to 25 times your earnings required income needs. So if you want to make, if you need 80 grand a year, you need 20 times that. That's $1.6 million. You take $1.6 million at 5%, that gives you your 80 grand a year. So that's the second checkpoint. Third checkpoint is what's your debt situation? Should you be paying off some debt? I like getting rid of bad debt. That's cars, credit cards, stuff like that. But the mortgage, if you've got a low rate, I'm not going to tell you to do that. Or I might even tell you to do a reverse mortgage to get your payment to go away without affecting your income. The next one is your health care and insurance. You know, what's going to happen on that? Do you have long-term care? Could it wipe you out? That's something that you need to ask yourself. Do I have an annuity or an insurance policy or anything like that? And then the last one is how long can I expect this money to last me? And so what we want to do is, you know, that you've heard the 3-5% rule, and that makes sense. But there's also other ways you can do it. You can bucket stuff. You can do annuities. You can do a lot of different things that allow you to move forward. Here's the bottom line. You got to have a plan. And so I always say this, GPS, goal, plan, schedule. You know, if I'm getting in my car, I get in my car and I put it in the GPS. Where do I want to go? How do I get there? And when will I arrive? And that's what we do when it comes to your money, the GPS. You get a goal in place. We work with you. We get a plan in place. And then we put you on a schedule. And then guess what you do? You sleep better at night, not worrying about money. My name is Roy Matlock. I hope this has been beneficial to you. You can visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Let's get started. Stop procrastinating. Get your money on track. I'll talk to you next week.